Neon Sea is an Iowa firecracker. She's as pretty as a 6-foot lion.
With an ever interesting team, and sports talk radio with a game. Sports and talk on FMU. Everything is gonna be A-OK.
Jim the Poet, he woos the ladies. He's got Motsy and he loves Tom Brady.
Hello, everybody. Nice seeing you again. Welcome to Sportsy Talk on WFMU, the most trusted team in sports talk radio. Today, Bronwyn C. and Jim the Poet back with you again this week until 7 p.m. I am Bronwyn C. I was not here last week, and I want to say thanks to Bullpen Betty for filling in for me. And we started the show with Nirvana doing All Apologies.
That's a good song.
It was a good song. Thanks for picking that out.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, and you're a communist.
That's right. Yeah, talking about fill-ins, you did a fill-in last night, right? So you have had no sleep at all. So you should be completely out of your mind today. That'll be good.
I'm bananas.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just as bananas as normal, but for a different reason.
But a different way.
And usually then, I'm drunk or...
Or drinking too much caffeine. Now you didn't.
Insane.
You didn't have a lot of caffeine to get you ready for this show, even though you were up all night last night.
I'm having a little coffee right now, so I'll probably be up all tonight too.
Oh, good. All right.
So yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
for some reason, I was going like, yeah, but you don't work on Fridays, and then I was like, oh, and wait, this is Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
That's
now.
A big jump.
That's a problem.
I wish it was Friday.
Yeah, me too. So Chris Christie is also our governor, not my governor, your governor,
my governor,
the governor of New Jersey.
I didn't vote for
WFMU's governor because. WFMU is in New Jersey. Chris Christie, Governor Christie, is filling in for Mike Francesa. I still can't say his name.
Mike Francesa. He's the sports pope of New York. He used to do a show with Mad Dog was the other guy.
Yeah,
and then
it was Mike and the Mad Dog.
They do Drive Time Sports Talk on WFAN.
It's the biggest sports station in New York, and it's, yeah.
But
it's,
now Mike falls asleep during the show usually because it's like 5 hours of like...
Yeah, he's just not.
Do you think
now.
The Yankees need more pitching, Mike? I do think the Yankees need more pitching, obviously.
Yeah, that's it, right?
That's the whole show.
So that's what Chris Christie did. He went in. He's trying to find a job. He's desperately trying to find a job for when he's not governor anymore.
Right.
Because, no, you know.
Well, then he had this whole 4th of July thing where he was on the beach when no one else could be on the
state
beaches.
Yeah, he closed down the state. And
they took pictures of him from a helicopter.
in Jaws, right? The movie Jaws. Do you remember the movie Jaws?
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Right? And so there's the big shark and stuff, and the shark guys say, you've got to close this beach.
Yes.
And the mayor goes, you can't close a beach on the 4th of July, right?
Apparently.
But apparently in
some
New Jersey,
can.
You can. Yeah, so big beached whale Chris Christie did close the beach, but then he went to the beach.
He was on the beach with his family. There was like 10 people on the beach. It was like 11 miles.
Just his, yeah, it's all for him. All for him and none for you. So he's looking for a new job, and he's trying out. So I guess he was on today but until 6, so we've missed
him.
Oh,
yeah,
him.
I don't know. I'm searching the internet for...
Yeah, I could have given you the number to call, which was 877-337-6666.
I don't think they take... they usually replay like a half hour or something
like that. You said the last hour, so
at least with Mike, with the sports pope.
Yeah, because...
He's usually asleep by then.
Yeah, he can't remember what he's...
Well, he's got to stay... I think the idea that he had to continue to do sports talk radio kind of offended him, because it was like... Hey, Mike, did you watch last night's Jets game? And it's like, I don't know, man. I go home. I don't want to watch a Jets game. They could beat like 45-0. What do you want me to do?
So you think that's why he's quitting?
Well, he's going to do something else. He wants to do, I don't know, he'll probably go...
He wants to direct.
He gets paid more. He gets paid a lot of money
to do,
whatever he's doing.
I think Chris Christie thinks he's going to get a job in the Trump administration, which is just... which is so risible.
He'd be great on Fox News because he's just so
a fat, bloviating sack of poo. Yeah,
yes.
He'd be great. Exactly. That would be fantastic.
I mean, he would just be great at, like, yelling at people or, you know, embarrassing guests or, you know, like, he just doesn't care either. That's
just
the thing.
Call everybody
he's at 80% disapproval rate in New Jersey, and they're like,
no,
well, why?
He's less than 80%
How could you be less than disapproval?
I know his approval rating is 15%.
Yeah, that's the lowest of any governor
in the history
of time. So
that means 85%.
That's like
disapproval.
Nero had a better
rate. Yeah, and they say he's going for single digits, right?
Yeah, he's like, I don't care, you know. What are you going to do,
really
not elect
care.
Me again? He doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He really doesn't care.
Oh, well.
Chris Christie. Yeah, so his big insult to one of his callers yesterday was he called the guy a communist.
The guy's from Montclair. I guess it's like Brookline, Massachusetts or something like that. I had no idea.
I was like, wow. That's
you
pretty,
communist.
That's pretty telling. Maybe I'll start doing that. You communist?
Yeah,
are you
like,
a communist?
Well, you must be a communist.
Are you a communist? Call us at 201-209-9368 and tell us if you are a communist.
I used to be a communist, but
it just seems
like too much work, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a lot of work.
You have to care about stuff.
Yeah, it's like, I don't really want to do that anymore.
Oh, I forgot to get the News of the Dead music.
Uh-oh.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Speaking of, you know, Chris Christie's dead. That's beautiful. That's nice. Chris Christie's dead career. We have another death. We have some sportsy death this week.
Death is here.
I say, sounding really pleased.
Enthusiastic. Sportsy died. Two of them died. The sportsy guys.
Listen to this, right?
Yeah, we did just listen to this.
It's just.
We listened to it like three times in a row, I think.
I know. Well, it's like the same. It's like just this one riff, and they just play it over and over again.
But this is a little more. This is a song called Brass Bonanza. It's being covered by the Zambonis.
Well, it's been covered by everybody because the original guy who wrote it never performed it. He just composed
it.
No, he just composed it. So this was the official theme song of the Hartford Whalers, one of the worst hockey teams ever in history.
The Whale.
Oh, the Whale? The Whalers?
They refer to
the Whalers,
like,
right?
As they refer to Red Sox Nation or Yankees Universe, they refer to the Whale as just like the entire
and see, that ties
endeavor.
In, and this ties in with Chris Christie also, because he's a big beached whale, so there you go. Everything is like, see how it all just comes together on Sportsy Talk? It's
I usually don't like fat jokes, but I really love fat jokes with him.
With him. He's appalling. He really is. So this song, this theme song, was written by Jacques Isay, who was Belgian. Why he was writing a theme song, and I've got it on repeat, so it's just going to go and go.
Oh, here it's going to go and go.
Yeah. It's never going to stop.
It was the theme song, and it would play every time, because I grew up in Massachusetts, I was a Bruins fan.
Yeah.
And they would always interview Bruins players before they played the Whalers and be like, so how do you feel about the big rivalry with the Hartford Whalers? And they'd be like, what are you talking about? We beat them like 4-0, 5-0.
Yeah.
There'd always be a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But they had this great theme song for their
which
club.
Which is this, very peppy.
Theirs was
Brass
a little sadder and slower.
It was
like,
it?
You know.
Oh.
They had a mascot named Pucky.
Pucky the
with a P. Pucky.
Pucky the Puck?
He was a whale. No, Pucky the Whale.
Pucky the Whale.
Yep.
Fudgy the Whale. That was a cake.
Fudgy the Whale was a wonderful
delicious cake
from the Carvel people.
Yes. So so Jacques Isay, the Belgian, actually released this song over here under the name Jack Say. Because, you know, Americans.
Yeah, you can't get.
Right, you can't have
do Jacques.
You can't do Jacques. You can do Isay. You have to do Say. Jack Say. He died this week, I think yesterday, in Belgium. He was 94 years old, and he never got a penny in royalties from this song.
I can't imagine there were any royalties.
Well, it gets played.
I have it on my phone. I used to have it as my phone.
You did?
As a ringtone.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what my ringtone is now because I can't figure out.
Because nobody rings. Nobody calls you.
Nobody ever calls me.
So it never rings.
I actually, the only time I think I'm getting a call,
yeah.
I have this new rumble in the back of my knee. So like it feels like my phone's on jiggle. But no one's actually calling me. It's just my leg is like messed up.
Your phone's on jiggle.
My phone's on jiggle.
I always think of that as vibrate, but okay.
Mine's more jiggle.
Jiggle. My phone is on jiggle. All right. Enough of that. Another death.
Some of the people, by the way, of the people on the boards have been up since 3 in the morning with me.
Yeah, right.
Switchblade Batman is apparently still up. Cat is still up.
Yeah, Cat. DJ Cat in Chicago.
No, this is Small C Cat.
Oh.
I'm sure DJ Listener Cat is.
I'm sure she's there, too. Hey, I'm the Sportsy Talk 2017 Joshua V co-host, am I? That person? Thank
Why are you asking me?
I don't know. The person who adopted me.
I think you said
adopted
that very
me.
Quickly.
Thank you.
I am the Trisha O and family and screaming baby, Jim the Poet.
Congratulations. Yes. Thank you, listeners. So your listeners have been with you all this time, even though you haven't been on the air consistently. I mean, you were on.
I was barely on the air this
morning. You were on from what? From 3 to 6?
12 to 3.
12 to 3. You were on 12 to 3.
And then I rode the path train for a while to go to sleep.
And then you went home.
I went home.
And then you got up and went to work.
Went to the bookstore.
Where you work. And you worked all day.
And now I'm here.
Now you came over here.
Because I love radio.
And because you love Sportsy Talk.
And I love Sportsy Talk.
Yes.
I love Sportsy Talk. And with you back, mm-hmm. I feel like
we're in good hands now.
Yeah, I feel better.
Yeah.
I feel
better too. I feel better when I'm here.
I feel better when you're here.
I like it being here. So Gene Conley. Let's talk about Gene Conley. Ever hear him? He was a right-handed pitcher for the Red Sox for a while.
I think you were talking about
months
him.
Before years.
I think
years
I didn't know his name, but I think I know who you're talking
about.
Yeah,
Gene Conley. He won a World Series with the Milwaukee Braves in 1957. Back when the Milwaukee Braves, where did they go? They went to another town, and
they went from
Boston. So
they were in Boston.
Boston Braves, and then they were Milwaukee Braves, and then they were Atlanta Braves, which is
they
where
moved
they are
right
now,
away
right?
out of Milwaukee. Like the first year they were in Atlanta, they were getting like 60,000 people mm-hmm. a night to go to the ball club. It was like people were like, "Holy crap!"
Yeah,
and then I don't know. Like suddenly they moved to Atlanta. Like, they just kept moving around. Like, this is great, 60,000, but let's go someplace warmer. Let's go someplace where the sun comes out.
So now there is a team in Milwaukee. It's the Brewers.
The Brewers. But they changed leagues. They used to be in the American League. Uh-huh. They were fun.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then they moved to the National League. But they're in first place. First place at the
break.
Yes,
and I saw them play.
Well, what do you think?
They were good.
They have a lot of home run hitters now.
They hit some home runs off Tanaka. It was sad. You know, they went ahead like 4-0. People were leaving in the second inning. I went to Yankee Stadium on Sunday. It was Whitey Ford bobblehead day.
Oh, very nice.
I did not get a bobblehead.
Whitey Ford is a. Oh, you didn't get what they usually. Some like kid will leave it around. And you could snatch it when he's at the bathroom or something.
Yeah,
Whitey Ford was one of the best Yankees pitchers in the 1950s
and 60s. Yeah, it's kind of weird. They have these sort of throwback bobbleheads, you know, and it's like it was kind of. I mean, and Whitey Ford was there. He was there with his.
Whitey Ford was there.
Yeah, with old Mrs. Whitey. And
I mean,
and
that's
they were,
the thing.
They
when you think of the Yankees, you always think of the sluggers, and it's like, well, some of the pitchers have been great too. I mean,
yes,
Hall of Fame pitchers, but like Ford is probably the most famous pitcher they've had.
So I was there and with former, now retired CEO of the Bronwyn C. Make-A-Wish Foundation, listener Laura, who was here as a guest at one point because she was, you know, the Bronwyn C.
She's very informative. She's,
yeah,
she knows her
stuff, right? So she always has a scorebook with her. She was actually the inspiration for the Sportsy Talk scorebook that we did.
We did one. That's a classic.
Yeah, it is.
If you ever get a chance to get your hands on one of those.
I don't know if they still give those out as swag or not, but you should have one. So
limited edition.
Indeed. So she had her scorebook with her, and you know the game was getting ready to start, and I said, "You're going to keep score, right?" And she goes, "Oh no, I don't think so." And I was like, "What?
What?
What? Who are you?" She's never gone to a ball game that she didn't score. She said, "Yeah, you know, they give up their season tickets this year. That's why I took her to the game.
Exciting because of the Aaron Judge and all those guys.
Yeah, and she gave up this year. This was the year she didn't have tickets. So I took her as a thank you for all the times that she's let me use her
tickets, right?
And
that's a very good friendly thing.
And you know what was crazy? Was that listener Ralphine was in the ballpark.
Listener Ralphine was in New York?
Yes. Was at the game. Went to the game.
The very same game.
Yes. That we were at, and listener Ralphine got the bobblehead. And we did not get a bobblehead. But Listerelle Fiend got one.
I could probably go on eBay and get you one of these.
Yeah, I don't really want one. If I had gotten one, I was going to bring it in here and use it as a prize for the marathon.
Does he need... Does it like it look like old? Is it old Whitey Ford? Like, is it like, oh, I'm really old, where's my car? Or is it like when he's a Yankee?
I think it's when he was a Yankee, you know?
It's like I can't find my keys.
No, I think it's like, yeah, when he was a pitcher. Oh. Well, all right, we're talking about baseball. We're talking about the Yankees.
Oh, is that which line is that?
That's the bat phone.
Oh, it's the bat phone.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, that's the DAW. I'm confused. WFMU, you're possibly on the air.
It's Bullpen Betty.
Yay!
Hi, Bullpen Betty. How are you doing? Can you hear us? We were just talking about the Yankees. We were talking about the game.
Yes, that's why I thought I'd call in now. I know I usually call in a little later, but I thought it would be good timing.
Uh-huh. Yes, perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
Tell us about the Yankees. Tell us about, you want to talk about the Home Run Derby? Do you want to talk about tonight is the All-Star game?
Did you see I had a double date for the Home Run Derby?
No, I didn't see
that. How old are those children?
What?
Fine young gentlemen.
Yes.
Mike and Nick, they're 7-year-old twins.
Wow.
Ooh, twins.
I didn't see that.
I posted a photo, and they are huge Yankee fans.
Oh, Mike and Nick, hello. Welcome to Sports Talk.
Yes, and they are playing baseball tonight, in fact. They're like the best on their team. They're 7.
Oh, that's cool.
Great.
That's good. What positions do they play?
So the one plays first, and the other is the pitcher or sometimes the shortstop. So you know
that's
they're
good.
Definitely they bat
you know
first.
We never finished talking about Gene Conley. Remind me to
go back to Gene Conley.
Remind me to get back to
Gene
Conley.
We've tried two different episodes to talk about Gene Conley.
Yeah, I know. We're going to talk about him tonight. Okay, go ahead.
So that was awesome. And did you guys see the Home Run Derby?
Well,
no.
I didn't see it because it was on ESPN, but I listened to it on the radio.
Oh, you
did? I listened to ESPN radio. And if you think it's boring to watch, you can't imagine how tedious it is to listen to it on the radio.
Well, I didn't used to be able to handle it because Chris Berman would do it, and he would do he'd make silly nicknames for everybody and go back, 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 back. But he's retired from the...
They got rid of him. He retired.
And they changed the rules? What do you think of the new rules, Betty?
For the Home Run Derby?
They have a bracket. And they give them like 4 minutes to hit as many home runs as they can in 4 minutes.
I actually didn't mind it because it sort of keeps it moving along, has a little more structure to it.
Right.
Maybe I'm saying that because, you know, Sanchez came in, took Giancarlo Stanton out of it. So
I know.
So Judge, you know, just
Giancarlo Stanton just got tired.
I think
everybody got tired except Aaron Judge, I think, could have done it all night.
Aaron Judge is like 7-foot muscle man from the Yankees.
Yes. He's a rookie. Last week he broke Joe DiMaggio's rookie home run record, and the season's only half over.
What do you mean? Joe DiMaggio only had like 30 home runs
his rookie year? Yeah, he had 29 home runs his rookie year. And Joe DiMaggio's left-handed. We have to tell our listeners who Joe DiMaggio is because they might not know. He's one of the greatest.
He's married to Marilyn Monroe for a while.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest Yankee baseball players
ever. He also liked acting
like
a gangster.
He was from the 40s, right?
40s
and
50s.
40s
and
50s.
40s
and
50s.
Yeah.
And so
served in the war,
his record is held up for a very long time. And
he has
the Yankees, that is.
For the Yankees.
Right. He has
that's the only team we're talking about.
The Yankees have all the records of everything.
What else matters, really?
Yeah, they don't matter.
Didn't he hit in 58 consecutive games or something like that? That's like Joe DiMaggio.
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe?
I don't know.
That's his big claim to fame.
I thought
no one could ever do that again because now you'd just be. Everybody strikes out 6 times a game.
Yeah. But they got the ball all juiced, so it goes farther.
Is that what it is?
That's what I think.
I say juice the ball. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Why not?
The ceiling of the stadium in Miami. It's the first time anybody's ever hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
Oh, he hit the ceiling. Because usually Giancarlo Stanton hits it, because they're both right-handed hitters, and they both hit for, like, amazing power. And they usually, Giancarlo Stanton hits, there's, like, a Clevelander club there, one of these big dance clubs where it's like, come to the baseball game, except don't watch baseball. Just, like, dance all night.
Mm-hmm.
And he hits the windows of this club, like, regularly. He hit, like, a scoreboard one time where it was like, whoa, that's, like, 500 feet away.
Aaron Judge last night in the Home Run Derby, he hit 4 500-foot home runs.
Yep.
And nobody else hit even one 500-footer.
Over 500.
Yeah, over 500.
Well, I just worry because a lot of the times the guys who are in the Home Run Derby,
mm-hmm.
wipe themselves out for the rest of the year because their swing gets out of whack because you're trying to like throw your shoulders back so that the ball goes up and stuff like that.
And right, and
they
the
end
pitchers
up hitting like five home runs for the rest of the year.
And the pitchers
like that.
In the home run derby, you know, they're like the batting practice pitchers. They're serving them up big, fat, soft, easy to hit balls.
That's hard.
They're not,
that's hard too. Hundreds of pitches like right in the right spot. You know.
Right. But then when the batters get back into their regular lineup and they're facing regular pitching, it throws them off too, you know? I mean,
it really messes up people's swings. That's why – and Aaron Judge, I'm a Red Sox fan, but what do you want to do?
We got, I think, call screener John, the People's Call Screeners, has somebody for us on line one. Do you want to do them both at the same time?
Yeah, let's go wild.
Okay, let's go crazy.
Let's go crazy.
Here we go.
I don't know what's going to happen.
WFMU, you're on the air with Sportsy Talk.
Hi, this is Bruce, West New York. I listen to you guys once in a while.
Hey, Bruce, what's going on?
The way you guys work together. How are you?
I'm the dancing monkey. She is the superstar.
I'm the hurdy.
That's why it works so good.
Well, I'm the hurdy gurdy woman.
You know, we all have a role in life.
Yes, I play my role.
You're an excellent dancer, Jim.
Thank you.
When you guys mentioned Gene Conley,
you
left out something very important.
No, we haven't finished talking about him yet.
Okay.
I know what you're going to say. I keep getting interrupted, but I really want to talk about this, so let's talk about it with listener Bruce right now.
But this is non-baseball related.
Yeah, I know. Let me ask, is it basketball related?
Well, obviously, yes.
Yes.
Because I was a Celtic fan and a Yankee fan at the same time growing up. So
you remember.
They were the two best teams back then, right?
Yeah, he was one of the first guys to play both, obviously.
Yeah, Gene Conley played both Major League Baseball and he played basketball in the NBA, and he won championships in both sports.
Right.
So he won a World Series.
Awesome.
Who did he play baseball for? He won the World Series.
I'm not sure.
He played with the Red Sox for a while. He didn't win a World Series with the Red Sox. No, he won a World Series with the Milwaukee Braves in 1957.
That was the Boston Braves, I think.
No, it was Milwaukee.
Oh, it was Milwaukee.
You check it out.
Milwaukee's never won.
Yes, Milwaukee Braves. You check it out. And then he won three NBA championships with Boston Celtics.
Right, because he was on the same team as Bill Russell. So he went along for the ride.
Oh, yeah, she's right. It's Milwaukee Braves. You know? See,
I'm right. Of course I'm right. I'm Bronwyn. See, I'm never wrong. You know that. Absolutely. So it's really rare that anybody even plays two different sports, but to win world championships in both, you know.
No, that's
like,
that's an unbelievable. But I mean, like they.
And then he.
The Celtics won like 9 out of 10 in the 60s or something like
that. Yeah,
yeah. They had Bill Russell.
In 13 years, mm-hmm. I think Bill Russell won 11 championships.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was the coach at the end. He was the coach of the team,
like
too.
The coach, the player coach, yeah. Right? Well, thanks
exactly.
Thanks very much for the call.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go and finish up.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say that Joe DiMaggio, 56 game hitting streak, and I think probably the one who's come closest to it, Rose.
Pete Rose had a really long streak.
Yeah, long
but
streak.
He was in his 40s.
Right.
He was a 40 plus game.
And it really took a lot out of him, I think. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you know, I mean. It's a really, really difficult thing to do to get a hit in all those games in a row and all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's like no one's
is.
Ever going to do that
it
again.
It's hard. Well, somebody will. You'll
no.
see. Somebody will.
I mean, Aaron Judge.
Somebody
it'll
will.
All be home runs.
No, but somebody
58
will.
58 games in a row with home runs.
Bruce, thanks for.
By Monster Man.
Thanks very much for the call, and thanks for letting me finish the Gene Conley bit. Yay!
Yes, of course.
Our listeners are the best.
I don't want to rain on your parade.
No, you're perfect.
I enjoy you guys. I like
that. Was very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Bruce.
Yep.
Thanks for listening.
I like him. That was so nice, wasn't
He's nice,
it?
Nice guy.
Yeah, and he knew the stuff and he was getting us back.
Betty's still with us, though, right?
Hey, Betty, you still there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Betty, what do you think of the All-Star game if they change the rules?
Right.
So the two highest.
I'm just going to talk about that.
So Aaron Judge was like one of the highest, and maybe Bryce Harper or something like that.
Somebody.
And what if they, as the highest vote getters, would you like it if they then were able to pick the team like they've done that in other All-Star games or like the hockey All-Star game?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that would be cooler than watching the AL versus the NL?
Oh, so they would be able to pick a team that combined whomever?
So
yeah,
this
they
way
could
you
just,
might get...
They just have,
so
they
here's why this this is a good, we should encourage them to do that.
Okay, why?
Because as of, like, December, just, you know, this past December,
mm-hmm.
remember how the All-Star game, whoever won, whatever league won,
yes.
would determine home field advantage of the World Series?
Yeah, yes. that doesn't well, happen anymore.
That doesn't exist anymore.
Yay.
Thank God, because that yeah. was ridiculous. It should definitely
well,
be
you know, well, you know what happened was because they were doing that, they had to play the game until somebody won, and they went into long extra innings, and everybody was pooped, and they don't want to do that. It's an exhibition game. It's supposed
right.
to be fun.
Well, they
it's
had
just
to tie.
Supposed to be,
given
it's fun
that,
to watch.
I do think that would be cool yeah. to have, like, Harper and Judge pick teams and just, like, have a, you know, a great,
just have a goofy,
game.
Yes. fun game.
The NHL
right?
one was super fun because they would make fun of the guys that they were yeah. picking and stuff like that because
yeah.
they all know each other and they're all goofing on each other and stuff like
we
that.
We have another call. Hold
it's
on.
Like a whole other
we're
thing.
Put, we're going to put somebody else on now.
Uh-oh.
This, it worked so well with listener Bruce. WFMU, you're on the air with Sportsy Talk.
Hi, Sportsy people.
Listener David. It's time
hey.
For David's Corner.
Yeah, come in tonight. I'm trying to push the button of the audience.
Okay,
hands to bottom has increased. Can you hear me clear?
Sure.
Yeah, I can hear you pretty
You're
good.
You're always
yeah,
really clear.
Now, Jim, you were absolutely wonderful this morning.
You were listening this morning, David?
You better believe it. Now, you had a number, two songs before the hour was up on over, 8 or 9, which declared that the man was a mountain, the girl singing, she sings like a bird. The man's a mountain, but she's dynamite. Who does that?
Oh, yeah, it's a woman named Sigrid. Maybe I didn't put it on the thing. I might have forgotten. Her name is Sigrid. I don't know where she's from. I think she's Scandinavian. And the song's called Dynamite. It's a really beautiful, if you can check it out on, her stuff's on YouTube. There's a picture of her singing at some sort of Vivo thing.
Or people could go on the WFMU archive.
Oh, yeah, you could listen
show.
To the show. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or you could just pick out that song.
See, I was just going
to
play Metal Machine
yeah,
music on repeat.
If you can write me her name and where she's from and that album and that cut, like, I really would appreciate it.
Okay, we'll do that.
Now,
I'm making a note.
I have a second thing in mind here.
Yes?
As to Book and Bullpen Betty.
Yes, she's on David. David.
New York.
David.
Dated November 3rd, 2016. My
David.
Birthday, 62.
David.
He's not listening.
Now, Bullpen Betty's on the air with you right
idea.
Now. What?
It has Bullpen Betty tattooed on her right arm, what it seems like, all the way up. A man's watch on her left arm.
Now, see, that's Brooklyn
she's
Betty.
She's really tall. She's riding a 10 or 20 speed bike with yellow handles. It's the new grand seat for people way during the L train shutdown. Does she know anything about that? She's wearing a helmet and glasses.
Betty, do you know anything about that?
Is he saying that was me?
Is
I think
Brooklyn Betty. Is,
no, it's Bullpen.
No, that's Brooklyn Betty. She's Bullpen Betty.
She's Bullpen Betty.
I'm sorry, Bullpen Betty. Does she have tattoos on her right arm?
She is. Do you,
no,
I don't. I haven't
I
seen
don't
any
think
tattoos
so.
On your arms.
No, I have no tattoos anywhere, in fact.
Really?
Really.
I have one.
Boxes, too.
She boxes. Okay. I do box, but
my
I box without tattoos.
My person, a book and bullpen daddy, is just a picture I have on AM New York. That's how I see her.
is somebody pretending
there.
To be me?
Hey, guys,
possibly.
Had a wonderful time with you here. No, actually, I'm going for surgery next week.
Oh.
So I'll report after surgery.
Oh, we'll have a good thought
okay,
for you.
Have a grand time, you guys. God bless. And
feel
take
better.
Okay. Feel better, David. We'll keep you in our prayers.
I am better. But you guys, like I miss. I overcome death. My neighbor down the hall, he died for the same thing I had. It's a miracle. It's a blessing. It's all your good, chill vibes coming my way and healing me. The power
good.
Of prayer is powerful.
We'll
you
send
know
you
that.
More good
you
vibes,
me
I
me
promise.
That.
We'll send you all the good vibes, David. Thank you for calling. There you go. Bullpen Brooklyn Bull.
The artist is, she's Norwegian.
I don't think that was me.
That's okay, I don't care.
She's Norwegian. Her name is Sigrid, Sigrid. It's a song called Dynamite that she sang. It was an acoustic
version.
Well,
that's almost like me.
Yeah.
She's very much like you. She seems tattooless.
So I have one last thing.
Yes?
And maybe you can tell me to shut up if you need to, but I have a post-interview story of our controversial guest from last week.
I think we're not going to get into that.
Okay.
On the air. But thank you very much for offering.
Maybe down the road.
Yeah,
I'll
maybe
tell
down
you guys
the road.
Off
yeah,
the air.
Yeah, tell us off the air. Thank you.
Off the air.
Off the air.
Off the air.
So yeah, so I'm gonna watch the game. It's on Fox tonight. The pregame starts at 7:30. I'm talking about the All-Star game.
Yes, the All-Star game.
And then the game starts at 8.
Uh-huh.
And
it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter who wins, so nobody's going to watch.
I'll watch. It'll be fun. All
hopefully,
right.
I want another tie. I want another 3 a.m. tie.
What you were saying, like, just pick teams.
Yeah, that would be good.
It's like the ultimate fantasy baseball, right?
It would be more like just a pickup game, you know?
It would be more fun. Battle of the Network Stars.
No.
Yeah, I do. That was a great show. Yeah, it was a terrific show.
Yeah. Every year they'd pick like different
David Hasselhoff would be
TV shows, and they'd go through this like crazy obstacle course, and they'd put it on TV. It was like the late 70s,
cool.
I guess.
That sounds good. They probably show reruns of it on the channel that Sean watches.
They've tried to do it, but there's no Network Stars anymore. Like,
right.
I mean, it used to be a Network Star, like you were Carol O'Connor or something like that. Like, everybody in the world knew who you were. Now it's like, I'm on CSI Milwaukee. And people are like, I've never seen that show. Is that a real show?
Right, and what channel is that? The purple channel? Yeah,
exactly.
So, but, all right.
All right, well, thanks, Betty, and I'll see you later this week, I hope.
Yes, I hope so. Have a good day, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care, Betty.
Yay, Bullpen Betty. Our
Major League Baseball.
Our official MLB correspondent, and by MLB we mean the Yankees. So.
Well, I mean, what else is there? What other teams are there?
Right? Exactly. The Yankees have like 5 players on the All-Star team, but only one of them is starting, and that's Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge got
starting.
4 billion
votes
or something
starting,
like that.
Yeah, he's starting, but there's 4 other guys up there. So, I forget who. Oh, Gary
Sanchez.
Sanchez, yeah.
Dellin Betances?
Is he? Yeah, probably.
I'm just guessing.
That seems reasonable.
Do you want me to find out who the Yankees are?
No, I don't really care.
Who are the Yankees?
No, it's just okay, for our listeners who don't know, Major League Baseball, in the middle of the season, they take a break for a few days, and they play the All-Star game, and then
the Midsummer Classic.
Yeah, and then they go back, and they go back to doing the season. But
they go back to the boring last place teams. get crushed. But for one night a year.
Yeah, you can see. You know, it's kind of interesting because you see players that never face each other in real life just because of the way the leagues are divided and I don't know. Now that they have interleague play, though.
It's a lot less special because you used to need to be in the World Series to see some matchups.
Yeah.
And so you would never get a chance to see,
whatever. Yeah, so part of the All-Star game was just that you get to see all the best players playing each other, and you see people facing each other that would normally never face each other. But
Luis Severino,
Dellin
Betances,
right.
Aaron Judge.
Yes.
Sanchez.
Somebody else.
A-Rod. I don't know.
A-Rod.
Joe DiMaggio.
You know what I think would
Where's the bar music? Where's the bar like?
It's on. Can't you hear it?
No.
Are you going deaf too?
Yeah, I am.
Dude.
Sorry.
Oh, that's bad. You know what I think would improve the home run derby?
Yep.
I was listening to it on the radio, right? It was
terrible. They should juice the balls.
It was pretty terrible on the radio. Okay, no, I mean just to listen to it, like. If you want to hear it on the radio, what they ought to do, I think, is they should get the regular announcers from each team, right?
Yeah.
Like the regular announcers.
Because almost every team has like a Hall of Fame announcer.
Yeah, they have a great, except for the Yankees. So they get, when I was at the game, and I had to go in the ladies' room, and all throughout Yankee Stadium, they have screens.
The TVs,
they have screens up so that you can watch.
If you're
in line to get something to eat or something to drink, you can watch the game on the screen, even though you're not in your seat. But when you go into the restroom, they don't have screens. They have the radio call, so it's like they have John Sterling piped into the restroom, and I think that's appropriate because he belongs in the toilet. That's where he should be.
We went to a game last year, and I.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think the Yankees lost.
No.
I don't remember. We went to the last game of the season, right?
They won.
We went a couple years ago, and they, in the men's room after the game, they'll sing along with Sinatra as everybody's at the urinals.
Yes, that's exciting.
It's very exciting. Starlin Castro was also put on the, but he's injured.
Oh, he
Those
was.
Those are all the Yankees on the All-Star team.
I knew Starlin Castro was on there. Five of them. All right. So what they should do is they should get the announcers from all the teams, right? And they should have them take turns calling each home run. Because, you know, each announcer has, like, a special way. Like that other, the TV Yankees guy goes, "See ya!" when somebody hits a home run, you know, and then...
Michael Kay.
Yeah, Michael Kay does that, right? And then, And then I'm sure every other team's announcer has some special way that they designate a home run. Right?
Yeah. I mean, most do.
Right?
My favorite is the guy from Chicago who's retiring this year, Hawk Harrelson.
Yeah, I don't know him. What's he say?
I could bring it up on the thing, but he's like, "Stretch! You can put it on the board, yes!
Right.
The good guys have a fun!
Put it on the board!
You can put it on the board, yes!"
So see, you could get all those guys, right? And then they could just be there in front of microphones so they could take turns calling the home, you know, like while the home run hitters are hitting the home runs for the home run derby, every home run that they hit, some actual excellent announcer would call for it.
The most exciting baseball calls that I've seen lately, especially, are all, I don't speak Spanish at all, but the game sounds so much more exciting in Spanish, man.
Yeah.
They get so excited. I was like, oh, wow, I wish I spoke Spanish.
Well, you can.
I tried to learn Spanish just by watching the World Cup on a Spanish station. It didn't work. The only word I understood was goal.
Yeah.
201-209-9368. That's 201-209-9368.
We've had some nice calls.
John
today.
P., the People's Call Screener.
People's Call Screener.
Screening calls. Ask him who the Phillies representative is at the All-Star game, because it's shocking. Every team still needs to be represented at the All-Star game.
Oh, I didn't know that. They have to have a so-called All-Star from every team. Even if your team is garbage, you have to send somebody?
Yes.
You have to send, like, the best of the garbage men?
Yes, the best of the garbage men.
Oh, I saw a picture of all
Pat
the mascots.
Pat Neshek is there. He's a middle reliever. Not a middle reliever. He's like he's like a holds guy.
Yeah,
no, he's good.
Yeah.
Is he a righty?
He's from the Phillies?
He's the, yeah.
Do the Phillies are not doing so well this year?
They are not doing well.
Oh.
No.
No, I see.
They'll be better in, like, 3 or 4 years. They're doing what the Cubs did, which was be terrible for, like, 5 years in a row.
No, the Cubs were terrible for, like, 100 years, and then they won the World Series.
No, I mean, they weren't. They were kind of middlingly terrible.
Yeah.
When, like, remember the Sammy Sosa and all those guys?
Yeah.
They were pretty good those years.
Do you know Sammy Sosa? You know that logo for Coney Island with the big grinning guy?
He looks like that guy now.
He looks like Sammy Sosa looks like that now.
Well, I don't know if he has, like, the thing that Michael Jackson has, whatever that's called.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if he bleached his skin or something. I don't know.
The Cincinnati Reds mascot looks like
Mr. Red.
Mr. Red, he looks like Mr. Met's illegitimate child.
Well, he's got like Met.
He's got a baseball head,
but he's got like this like one of those like villain, kind of handlebar
mustaches.
What's
the deal? What's the deal with him?
They used to be the Red Stockings. They're like one of the oldest teams, the Cincinnati Red Stockings or something like that. Now they're the Reds.
You know, they couldn't have the Red Stockings and
the
Red Sox.
They were great for a while. They were terrific.
Red Sox and Red Stockings. It's too confusing.
Is it?
Yeah. So they have to have Reds.
And for a long time, their socks weren't red. Although the Red Sox were Reds.
Yeah.
Were red.
Yes.
The Red Sox socks were blue until like 10 years ago.
That's stupid.
It made no sense.
Nothing makes sense.
Nothing made sense about the Red Sox for a long time.
Good.
Sadly.
I don't care about them.
At all?
No. Not at all.
Okay.
Yes. 201-209-9368.
201-209-9368.
I got some other sports that I don't care about.
Which sports?
The Tour de France. That's happening now.
Yeah, how's that going?
I don't know. They had a bunch of guys wipe out and crash and stuff. So
was there a fight?
Yeah, I think there was fights. I think there was some guys wiped out, and they blamed the other guys. And they
there's been three great ages in the Tour de France.
Mm-hmm.
The first age was guys would actually be drinking Merlot and eating a baguette on their bike as they rode.
Yes.
And smoking. Like, there was a lot of smoking until like 1980.
Did they have berets and pince-nez?
This is how you ride. This is the real ride.
This is
joy de vivre.
Velocipede.
And then they had the doping error.
Yeah, where they're all doping and saying they weren't.
Yeah, and now they have the can we get away with doping? Like
maybe.
They all have like little machines in their bikes.
Yeah,
they've
got those little motors and things.
But I watched a fake documentary on HBO called The Tour de Pharmacy.
Yeah.
That was.
What do you mean a fake documentary? You mean it was satire, or do you mean it was?
Yeah, it's a fake sports documentary about the Tour de France in the 80s when everybody was doping. And it's Andy Samberg from, he used to be on Saturday Night Live. It was super enjoyable.
Good?
Because they like are making fun of the whole thing too.
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds kind of insidey.
That's too insidey.
I think
they did one on like a Wimbledon type thing where the game the match wouldn't stop because in Wimbledon you have to win by two games.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the fifth set or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so they had one where like it was like 7 days of like where they couldn't finish the thing, and that was really funny. It was the guy who plays Jon Snow from Game of Thrones and Andy Samberg.
Game of Thrones is coming back.
I know
soon.
It's coming back. Are you excited?
Yeah. I like Game of Thrones.
Who do you think is going to be on the throne at the end of the whole thing?
Tyrion.
Tyrion?
Yeah.
Will they have to get like a big like?
Yeah,
they
have to get a booster seat. They have to get a booster seat for him. Yeah. I think.
Tell us on the boards who you think will be.
Or call us. 201-209-9368.
Who will be on the throne?
Who will be on the Iron Throne?
It's all made of swords, so it looks incredibly.
I don't think it would be very comfy.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable, I think.
I sort of miss. Remember a couple years ago when the Tour de France was happening, that guy contacted us and said he was going to do this whole show full of interviews and stuff from the...
He did do that, didn't he?
Yeah, but it was all interviews with people asking them what they were wearing.
Well, it's radio.
It had nothing to do with the actual bike ride or watching the bike ride.
Well, they would be ringing bells or something like that.
He didn't talk to anybody that was in the Tour de France. He didn't know. He just went around and asked people standing at the roadside to describe what they were wearing.
Well, it's the radio. I miss that guy.
Oh, so, I thought that was, you know,
but
at the time...
if you're wearing some kind of outfit, like
at the time,
a cow
I was, at the
or
at the
you're
time,
dressed like a bicycle or something
at the time,
like
I was
that.
Appalled, but now I sort of miss that guy. I thought,
I'm sure they're getting some great
in
stuff
retrospect,
here.
I thought it was pretty good.
I'm sure he's got great stuff going
possibly.
On.
Possibly. I don't care much about Wimbledon. That's happening now.
It's kind of boring because they play on grass, but then the grass gets really kind of dirty.
Yeah.
And all they had was bugs for a while. It was all these, like, flying ant bugs
and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So I don't know, like...
Did you see that woman's knee pop out?
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, man. This woman, her name's Bethany something. Bethany...
Knee.
Maddox... Bethany Maddox Sands.
Get a new knee.
Bethany Maddox Sands. And I think she was winning her match, and she ran towards the net, and her knee just does this thing. It's like she kind of stops, and her legs go the wrong direction.
Ow.
And she fell down, and she started screaming. And it's like the thing that's horrible about it, I mean, it's a horrible injury. You can tell she's really injured. But for me, the horrible thing is that she's lying there screaming, "Help me, help me." And it takes like 2 minutes before anybody goes out onto the court, before they get a doctor out there.
It took 2 minutes for them to get a doctor?
Yes. And I mean, I was thinking like if that was in football, right, when somebody goes down injured, right away there's trainers run out and then they signal and the medics come, you know, and the team physician comes out and stuff. And here they are in Wimbledon, you know, and I don't know if it's just because they don't expect tennis players to get that hurt or something. But she's just screaming and screaming and screaming. And then, you know, finally, I think her husband went out and maybe her coach. And then a couple other people went out. And it's like 2 minutes, a long 2 minutes before a doctor comes out. And the doctor's kind of standing there looking down, you know, holding a little bag and going, yeah, okay. And it's just, and she's screaming. She's just screaming the whole time because she's in incredible pain. And she's screaming, help me.
One of the most terrible things I ever watched was I was flipping the channels and there was like knee surgery.
Oh, man. Oh, we saw one time, we saw the facelift channel. They were doing a facelift. And
there's
I saw what they did.
Facelift channel?
There used to be.
Oh,
and they showed this lady getting a facelift, you know, and she's completely unconscious and they've got her hair. Like they cut it like when they're doing an autopsy, you know, when they cut off the big flap of your face. And then they had this thing that looked like a shoehorn, and they were going up.
They got to dig up in your face.
You know, and then
I would watch a Tommy John surgery channel. Like if it was like today we're doing Chris Sales Tommy John surgery.
Sure, if they're showing a famous player.
If Tommy John was going to do it.
Oh, that'd be good.
I think they should have Tommy John like watch the surgery.
Perform the surgery. No, he should comment. He should be like the color commenter.
I have two very exciting stories about the Miami Marlins, if that's at all possible.
No, it's not.
On the first hand, Miami Marlins owner, Jeffrey Loria, used to own the Montreal Expos when there was still a Montreal Expos.
Is it
other
Loria
than
or
National.
Loria?
I don't know.
All right.
He's a jerk.
Yeah,
he's wrecked the team a number of ways.
Always.
But now he's suing the fans who want to like get out from under his terrible team.
They bought
season ticket holders.
They bought season tickets. And they decided they didn't want the season tickets. And now he's like trying to seize their property and stuff. He's trying to seize a building that one of his season.
I mean, can you imagine?
No.
Suing your fans?
Yeah, that's great, right?
That's terrific.
Yeah,
that's great stuff.
That's excellent.
And now, and in breaking news.
Oh yeah.
Very exciting breaking news.
Is this about the Marlins?
This is about the Marlins.
Is this about Jeb and his new partner?
Tangentially.
Yes. What?
So the thing is, Jeb Bush was trying to buy the Marlins.
He was a former presidential candidate.
Yeah,
brother of some other president, and other son presidents. Of some other president.
By the way, those presidents look better and better every day.
I know, right?
I would
vote for any Bush
I
right
saw
now.
They were talking about Jeb Bush on the TV yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, boy, I wish that guy was president.
I would vote for Neil Bush, and he's the one who robbed all the savings and loans.
I would vote for Jenna Bush.
No.
She's terrific.
I like
the twins. They're fun. The dark-haired, dark-eyed one?
Yeah.
All right, so the Miami Marlins.
Yes.
Jeb was going to go in with Jeter. But Jeter's like, hey, I don't want to put up a bunch of money. I just want to kind of run the team.
I just want to run the team. You guys put up the money, and I'll
So
run
Jeb
the
was
team.
Like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, right.
So then
they got
Jeter got another billionaire to support
sugar
him or whatever
daddy.
Like that.
Another sugar daddy.
And they're
daddy.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I want you to run the team because, you're not putting up that much money.
Right.
So now.
Yes.
Michael Jordan,
yes,
and Derek Jeter are together in their bid for the Marlins.
But did you hear who Jeb has now?
Who's Jeb got?
Pitbull.
I think Michael Jordan and
Pitbull,
Derek Jeter.
The singer.
I mean, the singer. He's a pretty good singer.
Yeah.
He does those songs that they play between.
Yeah, he did A-Rod's walk-up music.
Yeah, yeah, that's the kind of songs you should do, like where it's like. You're watching the NBA on ABC, and it's just like, let's get this party, boom, boom, boom.
Exactly.
Except better than that.
So who do you think will win, Jeb and Pitbull or
I would never bet against
Jeter and John?
Never in my life would I bet against Derek Jeter and Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
Those guys will kill you every time. I bet against Michael Jordan and Derek Jeter so many times, and I lost everything.
But do they have enough money? Do they have enough money? Derek Jeter didn't have that much money.
Michael Jordan owns the Charlotte Hornets. Is that their name?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Would he have to sell them to get the money to buy the Marlins? I don't know.
The Charlotte Hornets must be worth $1 billion because it's the NBA.
Yeah.
The Marlins are worth like...
Nothing.
They built a stadium in a part of town where everybody in all of Florida is a Yankee fan as it is.
Yeah.
They built a stadium in the middle of like Little Havana or something like that. And they're like, I guess, baseball, if you like watching a team lose,
all the time.
Every day.
And getting sued if you try to get rid of your season
tickets.
Sue
your fans.
Sue your fans.
Yeah.
I don't know either.
All right, I'm watching Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge hit it off the roof. He just hit a Marlin. There's a big statue in the middle of the thing. He hits that thing.
Yeah, he hits everything.
Just juice the ball. Everybody likes home runs.
Hey, Venus Williams.
How's she doing?
She's not responsible for killing that guy.
The guy died?
Yeah, didn't you hear?
I thought there was just a car accident.
Yeah, there was a car accident and the guy died. The 74-year-old passenger in the other car died, right?
74?
Yeah. Okay, so wait. So here's the thing. This is how it was described originally. Was that Venus Williams was driving a car.
Okay.
And she gets to this intersection and somebody pulls out into, somebody in her lane ahead of her pulls into the intersection and she pulls into the intersection and then the person in front of her decides to make an illegal left turn.
This is not like her fault.
No, and stops, right, to make this illegal left turn. So Venus Williams is already in the intersection, so she stops in the intersection. And then the other person, when the light changes, that person, sometimes when people are making a left turn, they pull into the intersection, and then when the light changes, they real quick make the left turn.
Yes.
So the person did that. And before Venus Williams could move forward out of the intersection, a car coming perpendicular to her hit her.
Okay.
And the car that hit her is the car where the passenger died.
So why is that her fault?
Yeah, exactly, right? So I never thought it was her fault. But then they were saying, no, it's her fault because she was in this intersection that she shouldn't
She's
have been
blocking
in.
The box.
Yeah, I guess. But it's like, well, just
that
don't
mean
hit
you
her.
Can hit her.
Yeah, don't hit her with your car, right?
I mean, it's kind of a jerky move to be in the box.
You make mistakes, right? So I don't even
drive anymore.
Yeah, well, that's good. Lucky us. So I never thought it sounded. I mean, I was like, how is that her fault? But now they've
she
come around.
She seems like a really nice. I mean, I like those guys.
Yeah, she was very upset.
Her sister seems nice. They're superstars.
They're not doing
the Venus was great for so long. And then you're like Serena, oh, you know, sooner or later she'll win. And then she won 500
Wimbledons
or whatever it was.
Yeah. So no Venus.
But tennis
is
super boring. I only watch the ladies' tennis, and I only watch it for the grunting. So I just have it on in the background. Because it's all like, That's what I want. That's Martina Hingis was the one who started that. And now it's all like, I'm like, I don't want to watch it.
You just want to hear it.
I don't understand.
Maybe they should do that for the Home Run Derby on the radio. They should just have Susan Waldman going, every time Aaron Judge hits a home run, she goes,
I don't understand the whole thing about the Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
Like if you just said, we're going to give you 10 outs and anything but a home run is an out.
Yeah.
And then whoever had the most and then you had a tiebreaker at the end, that would be a super fine, super acceptable.
That'd be enough, right?
Because everybody gets tired of going through three different levels of whatever.
Yeah.
Like, just shorter the better. I mean, like, you know, the NBA has their big, you know, all-star game night where they have the dunk contest and the three-point contest. And most of that stuff's pretty boring.
Yeah.
But just keep it moving. Like, just keep it moving.
It's faster.
Like, it's fine. You don't have to have, like, they were going till 12:30 last night, weren't they?
No, they weren't. No.
It just seemed like it.
It just seemed like it.
I was on the air.
201-209-9368 is the number to call. No, they were done before my bedtime, and I go to bed really early.
So. I usually do.
You do?
What time
do you usually go to bed?
Like midnight.
That's not early.
That's earlier than I used to go.
Jeez.
Well, now I used to watch late night TV, but now I don't know how people do that every night. Because it's super boring.
I never understood TV. I
usually just watch TV now waiting for some member of the president's family to be arrested.
Hey, we have a call. And call screener John, the people's call screener, has okayed this call. So
this
let's
is
hear,
quality call
This
here.
Is quality call. WFMU, you're on the air with Sportsy Talk. Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear us?
I'm sorry, it's kind of a bad connection. I'm driving home after a hard day of scrubbing paint off a driveway in Long Island City. It's not been a great day, but
I'm sorry.
I made a few dollars, and I just love listening to you guys every Tuesday on my drive home.
Yay!
We love Long Island City.
Yeah.
MoMA.
Oh, love Long Island.
Okay.
It took me 2 hours to get back to Brooklyn.
Two hours?
What?
That's worse than the L train.
Yeah, I'm on Eastern Parkway right now.
Oh, man.
I just toward my apartment in Brooklyn. And
you could sit there for a long time.
It's just so freaking great to hear some intellectual exposés on this crazy world of sports.
Why, yes, thank you.
I think wrestling is going to soon be real.
I do feel like we've made some erudite points.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Donald J. will be in the ring, and he will win.
I wouldn't mind if the next election were a wrestling match. If it was just like
a wrestling match,
steel cage.
You know, tag team match with.
I would take that. I think that
would be good.
I have less and less faith in democracy and more faith in wrestling to solve all our problems.
Yeah, I think wrestling is a good model. All right, well, thanks for the call. We're almost done with the show.
Hope
you get home safe. Take care. Thanks.
I'll be fine. I'm looking forward to the All-Star game tonight.
Good. Yeah, we'll be watching it, too.
You will be.
And on game, and Manny Pacquiao was robbed.
He was robbed. He fought
Absolutely.
Against
about 17 Fosters into the judgment there,
He went and fought, like, wherever the...
He got bit by a dingo, and next thing you know...
He can't hear you.
Oh.
I guess.
You can't be hit by a dingo. You just don't want to be bit by a dingo during a boxing match, is what I'm saying.
Or a wrestling match, or ever.
But if you go... The judges are... Like, if you go someplace where the Australians are the judges, they're like, well, I kind of like the Australian guy, so he won all the things. There you go.
All right, thanks for the call.
Well,
I'm sorry. I can't... That was a bad connection.
And Devin's here from Morricone. Devin, what's happening on the island this evening?
I like how you swing
Barry
that
Adamson.
Around. Yay!
Stay tuned for Morricone Island.
We're almost done.
We are?
Yeah. Do we have we never have outro music, do we?
I could do the Brass Bonanza.
I got it. Well, that was as much of it as there was.
Is it going to come back?
It's on repeat. Yeah, it'll come back. In the meantime, there we go.
This is a much, much groovier version than the original.
This is your favorite band, the Zambonis.
I do love the Zambonis.
I know, it's odd. So, I don't know. It's just odd.
They're sort of, I think they used to be on Dr. Demento, and that's where I first heard about them.
Dr. Demento went to my college.
He was an American treasure, as far as I'm concerned.
Was? Is he dead? I don't think he's dead, is he?
I don't know.
Look it up. Well, I say do you want to do the thing?
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County. We're at 91.9 FM and all over the world. You can hear us online at WFMU.org. Also, download our free app for your device.
Did we get a lot of good comments on the comments board? We didn't read any of them today.
People think that Daenerys is going to be the...
Oh, well, they're wrong.
I know, Glenn made four different...
Yeah. Oh, Danny D should make like 15 different predictions.
We'll try to build a bracket.
Yeah.
And we'll have a bracket contest.
Yeah, let's have a bracket contest for Game of Thrones bracket contest. Tune in next week and get the info on that.
I don't know. I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, we'll fix it.
I'll get some crayons out.
It'll be great. We can do it.
I'm going to make Bronwyn do it.
Yeah, I can do that. Okay, so in the meantime, thanks for inviting us into your home tonight, and may God bless.
are listening to Morricone Island. I'm your host, Evan Levins, here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. here in downtown Jersey City, playing the soundtrack hits from the past, present, and future. And today is no exception. We have yet another special guest, Barry Adamson, joining us. We'll be discussing his film music and directing career, as well as taking a listen to his latest release, Lovesick Dick. It's an EP on his own Central Control International Records. The film noir music of Elmer Bernstein, John Barry, soundtracks of Ennio Morricone, they've all informed Adamson's solo work, including his first of 9 solo albums, Moss Side Story, conceived back in 1988 as a soundtrack to an imaginary film noir crime film. Adamson, of course, previously a member of Magazine, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, and many other projects. He's composed for over a dozen films, TV series, shorts, including Delusion, The Escort, Dreams of Life, and his own 2011 directed film noir debut, Therapist. He also contributed music to Derek Jarman's The Last of England, David Lynch's Lost Highway, Oliver Stone's Natural Born Killers, Danny Boyle's The Beach, and Allison Anders' Gas, Food, and Lodging. We'll be speaking with Mr. Adamson shortly.